Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Hello, I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored to share the microphone with the most interesting people. Now, these are people who are business leaders, they're entrepreneurs, they're authors, they're speakers. They cover the business gamut, but they're here to share their stories and freely share their journeys, their business wisdom, tips, and actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. In fact, my guests are so compelling and so insightful that this podcast was recently written up on Inc.com as one of the best business podcasts you need to be listening to now and has been mentioned on Entrepreneur and MSNBC. And our topic today is one that I'm very fond of, and it's called Leading in the Moment with Judith Humphrey. And she's going to share with us how preparing for impromptu speaking makes you seem more engaging, professional, and thoughtful. And I am all about impromptu speaking. So Judith Humphrey is the founder of the Humphrey Group, a premier leadership communications firm. And she is a communications expert whose business teaches global clients how to communicate as confident, compelling leaders. She is also the author of 3 books, Speaking as a Leader, How to Lead Every Time You Speak, From Boardrooms to Meeting Rooms, From Town Halls to Phone Calls. The second one is Taking the Stage, How Women Can Speak Up, Stand Out, and Succeed. And her most recent book, which I happen to have on my desk right now, is called Impromptu, Leading in the Moment. She is also an acclaimed speaker, a columnist in Fast Company, and a top global communications guru. Judith, welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio.
Thank you so much, Denise. I love being on your show.
Well, I've been looking forward to this because, like I said, I've got the book. And when we did our kind of pre-interview, one of the things that I love about my podcast is that I am my guest. Tend to speak extemporaneously, which makes it kind of like a fireside chat more often than not, and we have a lot of fun. So that leads me into my question. Why is impromptu speaking in your mind so important rather than scripted speaking?
Well, it's amazing for me to be talking about impromptu because I was a speechwriter for many of my days in corporate life, and I wrote a lot of long speeches and well-articulated speeches, but over the last 2 or 3 decades, I've seen a real change in the way people speak, the way corporate leaders speak, and they've moved from scripted to off-the-cuff. I've had clients that I've worked with, and you know, originally when I started working with them, they would create one-hour presentations, PowerPoint presentations, mm-hmm. or a 20-minute speech, and today they're speaking impromptu. And why? Why the real emphasis on impromptu today? It's really because people are all leaders at all levels. Nobody has to be a CEO to speak and speak with authority. And so we're seeing leadership at all levels and people at all levels speaking and leading in corridors and elevators and meeting rooms and lunch rooms in parking lots. They're leading every moment.
And, you know, you said something about those PowerPoint slides, and instantly I just went to, oh, my God, it's a chicken dinner thing. You know those rubbery chicken dinners you get when you go?
Yeah, the rubber chicken circuit.
I don't want to go. And I suspect that a lot of people who are being kind of herded into these meetings are going, oh, God. So maybe that's the shift. You know, maybe they recognize at some point they were not even beginning to get close to their audience. Do you think maybe that kind of came about?
Well, yes. I think being close to your audience is very important today. And people are realizing they can't get close to their audience if they're standing behind a podium or they're standing next to PowerPoint slides in the dark. And so they're changing their mode of speaking. And impromptu is really a much better way of reaching your audience, of having a conversation with your audience, of being real and transparent and authentic. And that's what everybody wants to be today as a leader.
Well, there's that, and I suspect, and this is just me thinking off the top of my head, but you said something that kind of grabbed my attention there when you know, in a dark room, and you've got this one poor schmuck up there trying to get your attention with his PowerPoint. And in this day and age with cell phones, people are playing games, they're texting, they're not paying attention to you because it's a dark room. They don't have to, right? They're there,
exactly.
They have to be there, but it's not a give and take kind of an event. So
that's
really
very interesting.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So that what you say is very interesting, that people are much more distracted today or more easily distracted by their smartphones, by their games. So if they're in a dark room and they know the speaker can't see them, they're going to do that. My husband is a professor, and he says some of his students were searching for wedding gowns on their computers during his lectures. So the challenge of holding an audience today is much greater than it's ever been. When our senior executives used to speak at the podium, everybody felt they had to sit there and listen and show some interest. But today there isn't that same protocol. Mm-hmm. So leaders have to engage their audience much more effectively.
And it does seem to me that if you're walking around, and I've seen this in speeches when I was in college, they said, and I have a computer science degree, I didn't really need to learn how to speak on a stage, but they shoved us all in a room and said, get up and talk. Well, as a high-functioning introvert, you would think that would be a problem, but I'm not shy, so I didn't have any problem. But what I did, Judith, was I did the exact opposite of every other person. They got up there with their little note cards. You know, they were standing there with their hands on the podium, their sweat dripping down their brow. And I think, if this is a college course, I don't care. So I broke every rule. And I walked around. I walked down into the audience, which, you know, they were all sitting at their tables and their chairs. And I engaged kind of one-on-one. I did everything that I was told not to do. And it was fun.
And you were better.
Everybody enjoyed. I was. And I didn't set out to be, because honestly, I didn't give a crap. I just wanted to get it over with.
Well, that's
but
great.
As it turned out, it was fun. I really enjoyed it. But I was engaging one-on-one, eyeball to eyeball with everybody in the room.
That's fantastic. Well, I think this is why I wrote the book Impromptu, and it was a result of realizing that as executives and leaders moved away from the podium, away from PowerPoint, they were so much better, so much more real and genuine in not only in their look and their presence, but in what they said. Because if we get out there in the audience, Justin Timberlake went right into the audience, and there's an example of what you're talking about, Denise. Break down the barriers between speaker and audience, between leaders and followers, and really become one, then we can be so much more effective and more honest, mm-hmm. more open, and enjoy the process a lot more, right? Who enjoys mm-hmm. giving a formal speech behind the podium?
I can't think anybody would, and that's probably why it was so miserable for everybody in the room, except the waitress who was bringing in water. It's like, here you go, I'm out of here.
I know.
It's just, we all dread those things, you know, from both ends of the spectrum. And I have noticed, especially when I see TED Talks, and because now, of course, everything is also online, so you can see some of these, you know, these incidents, and some of them are just fascinating because they're so unscripted. Do you have any, you know, kind of ones that you've seen that were just stellar because an accident happened, or you know, what do you call it, a speech blip where you go, oops, shouldn't have said that, but it turned out to be really funny? Do you have any stories you can share?
I would say the example that I begin the book with was in the Oscars last year when there was a mix-up, and the Oscar for the Best Picture was given to the wrong film. And what happened mm-hmm. is the person who was holding the statuette came out and said, I am delighted to be able to give this statue to the real winners. of the Oscar Best Picture. And he showed such grace in that gesture and that moment. He was able to show such leadership. But some people might have said, oh, no, you know, and they might have gotten all flustered, knowing that they were going to have to give up the Oscar. So that was a moment of grace. And I think that kind of spontaneous reaction shows true leadership, how we operate, how we act under a pressure in that fleeting moment where we have a chance to be great or not. This shows our true leadership. And so in the book, I talk really about many ways that one can be good at impromptu.
And I think I know what you were talking about. You know, honestly, I don't ever watch I don't watch TV or almost never movies. I'd rather have a big old stack of books. Just give me a book. But I should watch them because a friend of mine is the publicist for the Academy Awards, but he knows I don't watch them. So, sorry, Steve. But in your book, I also noticed, I mean, I agree, we need to be spontaneous. If I had tried to script this conversation with you, we would both be about half asleep right now, truly. We wouldn't have any kind of conversation going on. So how is this affecting what we do on a daily basis on social media, in conversations with possibly new clients, with, you know, kind of even new friends? Because I think, Judith, maybe you can help me with this question. I think we often try to overthink what's coming up. You know, how am I going to have this conversation on this date? How do I have this conversation with my mom? And then, you know what happens in my world? None of the things I was worried about ever happened. Didn't even get close.
Yes. Well, it's true, these moments are great opportunities, a starting point of really being a great impromptu speaker is to think that these moments are important. Rather than just dismissing them and not preparing for them, it's important to give them the significance that they deserve in terms of our leadership, and then to know how to prepare. Now, I'm not saying write a script, but I'm saying that you need to know what you're going to say for any given situation. So if you're going to go to a networking event, and you know there are going to be some key people there that you want to talk to, well, by all means, think through what you want to say. Don't necessarily write it out in a formal script, but actually create a script in your mind. Think, what message do I want to leave that person with? Or do I want to have coffee with that person as a follow-up conversation? And what do I want to accomplish there? So it's really important to get your mind in gear for impromptu situations, and to really informally script yourself in your mind so that you have a message for everyone. Mm-hmm. So if let's say you're a new employee in a company, and you know you're going to be passing people in the elevator and meeting people in the elevator, have a message. What is it that you would deliver? Would you say, hi, how's it going? Or would you say, introduce yourself, shake hands, and say, I'm new here, but I love working in this organization, I just want to tell you that I'm glad to be aboard. You know, that's a leadership message.
You know, it's interesting that you should say that, because I live in the South. And one thing that we do here that I didn't always do, and finally it occurred to me that I was missing a very important step, and something that's just so simple. But you can walk into the store, or you can have, somebody calls you, and they'll say, how are you? And you say, oh, good, and then go into the conversation. You have missed a huge opportunity to say, I'm well, thank you, and how are you?
Yes.
And I had to script myself, literally, some years ago to always say, I'm doing very well, how are you doing?
Wonderful.
And now that we have a back and forth, instead, oh, I'm great, thanks, you know, just keep on going. It's a big step, don't you think?
I think it's a very big step. That positive thinking, that positive messaging is so critical. And you have to program that into your mind, because so many moments in our day are filled with challenges and obstacles and things that we need to solve. So when we have a chance encounter with somebody, we have to adjust our thinking and turn on the positive thinking and positive messaging. You're absolutely right.
And the reason I think that's because yesterday I had a dentist appointment. I ran some errands and I walked into, I love the Dollar Tree. Love the Dollar Tree. I don't know why, I just do. And I walked in and the people who staff that store are trained to say hello, if they can, if they're up at the front of the building or behind the desk, you know, they're the cash register, they're trained to say, you know, good morning. And I caught this and it kind of made me wonder why people, I guess it kind of stops them, but the girl, you know, hollered out hello. She was checking some people out. And I said, no, I'm sorry. She said, good morning. And I said, how are you? And I said, I'm great. Thank you for asking. How are you? And it stopped her. And she kind of went, oh, I'm good. But it stopped her from, she didn't stop checking. I mean, she was doing that. But it got her thinking, I think, because I saw it in her eyes, like, huh, she cares what I think. And I did. I wanted to know how she was. So I think you should do this with everybody.
Absolutely. I think sometimes the messages or the scripts are a bit longer and other times they're shorter, but these one-word, two-word scripts are very important to keep them positive. So, for example, there are so many people who will say to you during the course of a day, no worries or no problem. And this is not a positive response.
No, it's not.
It's too negative, actually. No problems, no worries. So I say just delete those words from your vocabulary. The book on impromptu speaking, it's called Impromptu, it will give so many ways that you can improve and strengthen your leadership voice every time you speak. And one is language, of course, and we're talking about that, being positive rather than saying no worries, say thank you or I appreciate that or sure. And so there are always positive alternatives for any negative expression we might have traditionally used. And that's one starting point for becoming a better impromptu speaker. I think another starting point is to really carry around certain messages in your mind that you think capture your leadership. And so when you see people, see people in the corridor, let's say you're coming from a meeting, instead of saying, how's it going? And the other guy says, not bad. Just stop, look the person in the eye. And let's say it's one of your people and this team member has been at a meeting. Look the person in the eye and you say, wow, that was a great idea you raised at the meeting today. I'd really like to explore that with you. And let's get together soon to discuss it. I think that it holds great opportunity for our group. That is a leadership script. And so you can see how much better that is than simply saying, how's it going, and not even looking at the person. These are moments when you can make or break a relationship. If somebody sees you go by and you say, how's it going, you don't even look up at that person, then that really hurts the relationship. Whereas the other script engages the person, makes them feel valued, makes them feel you're really supporter of them. And if you have, let's say, 15 or 20 of these episodes in the day where you're positive rather than negative, people are going to see you as a real leader.
And it's going to open up conversations that would not have happened if you just said, oh, I'm good, you know, and keep on trucking down the road.
Exactly. Yeah, it's amazing what these short scripts, these impromptu scripts can do for your image and for your energy level. I mean, you have a good conversation, you feel much better about yourself and about your organization and your team than as though you just had one of these non-conversations.
And this is not just for big organizations or, you know, speaking on stage. This can be in just about any type of situation. And I was in the grocery store not too long ago, and I'm an introvert. I'm a high-functioning, committed introvert. But apparently people don't recognize that about me, or I look much friendlier than I really am. And people want to talk to me in the grocery store. I have no clue why. I have my list. I know where I'm going. I want out. I'm leaving, but this always happens. And there was an elderly lady. I think she was she was in front of me. And she must have been in her 80s, and her hair was done. She was wearing a cute little pair of capris, and she had the cutest sandals on. And I couldn't help myself, introvert or not. I said, those are some cute shoes. Well, we got in a great conversation after we got out of the line. And she gave me a lot of information about the little town slash village that I live in. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't gone out of my comfort zone and said, cute shoes. But now I have a much better sense of history about where I live.
That's right. It's give and take. I mean, if you give, the other people will give too. The people that you're surrounded by will give back. And you'll have such a better sense of your own identity, your own leadership, your own presence. This is what leaders need to do today. And really more and more of them, I'm finding, are doing this. As I researched the book and talked to a lot of executives and mid-level leaders, they told me that they're doing much less speaking behind the podium, much less PowerPoint speaking. And they're actually doing a lot more interactive conversations with employees. And so they'll have a let's talk event where, you know, that vice president will get in front of 10 or 20 or 30 employees. And the employees can ask that person anything. And this is very gratifying for everybody, you know, for the audience and for the leader. But I say in the book that preparation is key for all these impromptu situations. Sometimes you have no time to prepare. You just have a moment. But if you only have a moment, let's say you're in a meeting and somebody asks you a question and you have just that split second to prepare, you still have to think, what's my main message? Because some people do start talking before they really have clarity in their mind. And so you don't want to do that because you can just be babbling on when you really want to make a point. So it's important to pause. If somebody asks you a question, if you're about to make a comment in a meeting, really important to pause and think, what is my main message? And then state it. And in fact, I have in the book a template for organizing an impromptu comment. And it has four elements. You start with the audience. So you say something about the audience to draw them in. You can say, that's a great comment you made, or I agree totally with you, or thanks for the suggestion. You know, anything like that, but it pulls the audience in by referring to them. And then the next element is your message, a one-sentence message. I agree we should proceed with this project. Let's say that's a message. Then you give proof points. You give two or three reasons why you make that point. And that's the body of your script. And then you come to the end. Your fourth element is the call to action. Always end with action. What do you want people to do? Or what are you going to do with that other person? So I'm sure in the grocery store you probably had an ending where you said we should get together or thank you so much, I look forward to seeing you again, something like that. Mm-hmm. Or in a business setting, the call to action could be, so I propose we proceed with this project. Or if you're talking to a customer, so are we all in here? So you always want to end with action of some kind so that you know that you've closed on something. Closed on your idea, basically.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. So what happens, and I've had this happen to me, with somebody, a client, I'm building a website for them or we're doing their social media, and they'll ask me a question I simply don't have an answer for. Now, I know what I do, but what do you suggest people do?
Well, there are two responses. One is if you really feel that you shouldn't necessarily be on top of that information, you could say, I'll get that for you. You don't have to say, I don't know, because that's a negative. But say, I'll get that for you. I'll have someone call you with that answer. So that's positive, but that's admitting that you don't have the answer. If you feel you should have the answer, then you really are in a position where you're being tested in some ways. And you can say, if I were doing, let's say, doing a website and somebody asked you a question, how are we going to do this particular thing, then you hadn't thought about it, let's say, but you want to come across as capable. So you say, here's how I would look at the situation. So you put it in the conditional, not here's what we should do, but here's how I would look at it, or we have several options. So you're still contemplating different options. So there are ways of being positive if you know the answer or if you don't know the answer. I think I would like to know how you answered the question. You know, if somebody asked you something you don't know, what would you say, Denise?
Pretty much what you described. I mean, if it's something I honestly don't have a clue about it, I will admit, and that doesn't happen often, but if it does happen, I will say, you know, that's a great thing to think about. Let me do some research, and I'll get back with you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to just leave it hanging. But if it's something that I hadn't thought of, but I think is a great idea, they get full points. Great idea.
That's good.
Let me look into that. You know, thank you for bringing that up, and let's see where we can go with this.
Exactly. That's very good. That's a perfect response, because you haven't said anything negative. People become so apologetic often when they feel they've been caught out and they don't have the answer. But there's no reason that we have to be encyclopedias. There's always a positive response even when you don't have the answer.
Mm-hmm. I have found that too. And, you know, in the work I do, which is very technical, there's always going to be something that I am not either on top of or I have frankly never heard of. So I just ask for, you know, 24 hours to look into it, and then I will render an opinion or the result of my, you know, my searching around, and then we'll talk about it further.
Yeah. So you might wonder, so what are some of the traps that people fall into in their impromptu speaking, and other than the one we've just talked about? That is being caught out and being embarrassed by being caught out. You don't have to be embarrassed.
No, sometimes,
yeah, and then another trap would be when people just start talking before they're thinking, and therefore they're blathering on, and it gets worse and worse because as they're talking, they're trying to collect their thoughts, but it's impossible to do that. And so they get to the end and they say, well, what I'm saying or what I'm trying to say is, and that's not a good situation to be in. So basically pause, collect your thoughts, think of your message, and start speaking. People don't mind it when you pause before speaking. In fact, JFK was a person who paused before answering, and he had very carefully sculpted answers. He was really good, kept his answers short, but it was because he had thought, he had paused to think. So pausing to think is very important, and then having your message in mind when you start speaking is very important. Knowing when to speak and when not to, so choosing the right time and place. If you're in a lunchroom and you don't really have one-on-one conversation, other people are right near you, or it's best not to raise anything, obviously that's personal, that would be probably something people would know. But time and place, you don't want to, for example, say anything that is not yet announced. So that's timing. You don't want to jump the gun on information. You don't want to ever tell somebody something in confidence that puts them in an awkward position, knowing something they shouldn't know. So those are some of the things. You want to also, you mentioned social media, Denise. You want to make sure that anything you say could be broadcast, because it will be broadcast. Once you say it, you have no control over where it goes or who repeats it or retweets it. So you have to be really careful that anything you say could be broadcast without being embarrassing. Those are some of the tips.
I always tell people, if you don't want your grandma to see it on a billboard, keep it off of social media. If you're in a bikini stretched out across the bed and you're trying to tell people you're a professional, bad job. Stupid. Bad job.
Exactly. It's really an art. The interesting thing about my book, Impromptu, is that it presents a case for preparation. It seems ironic. It seems almost counterintuitive. But the whole thrust of my book is to show readers how to prepare to be impromptu.
Mm-hmm.
And I suggest a number of things. First of all, have the right mindset. Have a mindset that's respectful. Have a mindset of a listener. Have a mindset of somebody who can focus and who can really seize upon each of these moments as leadership opportunities. So the mindset is the starting point. And then have a sense of how to structure your scripts when you're in the moment. And I have a template in the book that shows you how to do that. And then using improv techniques from theater. There's a whole chapter on improv techniques and how to use them in the moment. And then, of course, we talked about language, being positive, being collaborative. All of these are absolutely essential to good impromptu speaking for a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And physical presence. So those are all themes in the book that I talk about.
Right, I wanted to get to that. And I'll ask you about that in just a second, how you present yourself. But until I read your book, and this is going to sound like I'm completely unaware and I have no self-awareness at all, I hope that's not the case. but I realized, because I do, you know, I do a lot of extemporaneous speaking. I just, you know, my mother says my mouth is going to get me in trouble. My feet can't leave me out of one day, which is probably true. But I realized when I got to one particular chapter that I long ago, probably as a young child, because I am an introvert, I really do need a lot of solitude. And I don't like people asking me what I call impertinent or, you know, questions that are just none of their darn business. So as probably a very young child, I developed scripts that, thank you, Judith, I didn't realize I had done, about how to deal with nosy people. And those scripts are in play today.
Wow, isn't that amazing?
I didn't know. I was like, oh, how did she know?
So, wow.
Thank you.
Well, and that's what I say in my book about myself, too, that I have been developing impromptu scripts my whole life without realizing it, that I was doing it. Because I was very shy as a young girl, and I wanted to be good at this everyday speaking. And actually, my shyness led me to my career. It led me to want to be able to communicate really well. I was a violinist as a child, and then I became a university teacher of communications, and then I was a speechwriter, and then I started the Humphrey Group, which is now a global company teaching leaders how to speak. So my shyness is similar to your introvertishness. It became a real asset as I faced it and worked on communications. But I prepared everything. So this is one you'll like. This is one that has nothing to do with the business world, but when I was dating my husband, or the fellow who became my husband, I had been dating him for a year, and I said, wow, this guy I really love. I've got to marry him. And so I actually created a little impromptu script to propose to him that we get married. And so one night I went to him, and appearing to be very spontaneous, I said, you know, I think we should get married. And we've had a great time, great year, and there's so many things we share. And then I enumerated three or four things that I felt would make for a great partnership. And then I ended with a call to action, as I've mentioned in the podcast. The call to action was, I said, and I'll give you 2 days to decide. That's pretty brash, but he only took one day. He came back to me and said, I don't know about it, but I don't want to lose you, so let's go for it. And we're still married after almost 50 years. So that's the power of an impromptu script. You know, if I hadn't prepared, I might have gone to him and said, you know, I'm really upset. I'm really upset because, you know, we've been together for a year already, and even though I think we have a good time, I'm not sure what you're thinking. And, you know, it could have gone from bad to worse, but because I prepared that leadership script, I do believe that that resulted in, that was the primary reason that we got married then, and maybe wouldn't have if I hadn't said that. And these things are life changing scripts, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I had to mute because I was chuckling so hard and smiling really big. That is a great story. Congratulations.
And another one that was more of my part of my personal life, and I just want to share these with your audience because the leadership can apply to any dimension of our life, not just the business world. When I was applying for graduate school, I get a call from the dean, and he said, "I'm so happy to tell you that we're going to give you a full scholarship for 3 years, and we're also going to pay your living expenses." Well, I said, "That's wonderful. How much are you going to give me for living expenses?" And he said, I don't know, something like $2,000 a year, which was nothing, but then it was a lot more than it would be today, of course. And I paused, and I said, "Is that the same that everybody's getting?" And he said, "Well, the boys aren't getting that. They're getting more." And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Because their dads don't take care of them. The girls have support from their parents." And I said, "Well, I don't have that support, financial support from my parents." So he gave me the same as the guys got. Now, that was an impromptu script. But it was one of those moments in life that I'll always remember because I really took the stage and I realized that there was a message I wanted to share about fairness. And it helped me. So these leadership scripts are for every occasion where you have an opportunity to make a difference in your life or in somebody else's life. And we really need to use all these techniques you and I have been talking about for all these situations if we want to be strong and confident and successful.
And thoughtful. I mean, look, I'm one of these people, and I had to teach myself how to be more thoughtful because I realized that I was making so many of the mistakes that you're talking about where, you know, people would, there was one period in my life, very brief, where I worked in somebody else's office, and I'll never do that again because I run with scissors and I don't play well with others. But I was always so frantic to get outside, get fresh air, get away from people that I would catch myself actively being rude. But, you know, somebody would say, "Hey, Denise, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm good." And I would just keep on moving. And it dawned on me, and I wasn't trying to be rude. I just needed to get outside. And it occurred to me, and I don't remember what the incident was, that I was actually hurting people's feelings or ticking them off or both. And I had to stop and recognize how I was treating people who may or may not have been genuinely interested in how I was doing, but I wasn't being anywhere near polite. And in the Deep South, you've got to be polite. You should be polite no matter where you're from. But I had to actually stop, kind of like I did with the, I'm doing well, and you. Same kind of thing. I had to put that script into my basket of goodies, so to speak.
Yes. Yes, that's fascinating. Well, that really gets into the whole topic of listening. As an impromptu speaker, you really have to listen carefully to your audience. And in the book, I talk about listening on three levels. Physically listening, that is being aligned with your audience, looking them in the eye, even looking at them when they're not saying anything, but just waiting for them to respond. So eye contact is very important for physical listening. Using open body language, keeping your arms open. That is when we cross our arms, or our hands, or we move our body away from our listener, that is, we speak at an angle, then it's not good physical listening. We're conveying the fact that we're not really there for them. So that's physical listening. Mental listening is really listening to their ideas, and working with their ideas, you know, saying that's a great idea, or I'd like to build on that. And so really showing that you're hearing what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And then emotional listening is really the highest, because that involves the kind of listening you're just talking about, really being emotionally attentive to them and making sure that your behavior does not hurt them or make them feel you're rejecting them in any way.
Mm-hmm. And people do pick up on that. They may not pick up on it in the moment, but after a while, they kind of don't like you anymore, and with good reason.
Yeah, and you may never know why.
Right.
But
and
certainly if you master impromptu, you'll know all these things,
right,
and you'll know how to engage people.
Well, I finally picked up on that. I mean, I was only in this position for a year, and then I paid attention to it anymore. And then I went on to build my own business, so there was a reason and a purpose. But in going back to those very young scripts, I realized that was from school. I needed to get out of, you know, those crowds of people. I was heading for the doors. I didn't even know my classmates' names, didn't care. I just needed out. I needed to be alone. So that was, you know, conditioning from a very young age. I never meant to be rude. It was never my purpose, but I was.
Yes. Yes, I mean, they would interpret it that way, but you didn't feel it. And that's, I guess being an introvert provides another level of complexity for impromptu speaking, that you really have to be.
Radio. You know, I love radio because I get to do exactly what we're doing now, having conversations and meeting at a level where you may not do in your Walmart parking lot. So I love doing this.
Yes. Yes, well, you're great at it, and congratulations on your wonderful rating by Inc.com.
Oh, thank you so much. Listen, I know we've only got a couple more minutes because you have to leave for an appointment, but I do thank you for being here. Do you have just a couple of minutes to tell people how you can tailor your body language or your word choice or your tone to specific audiences, whether they're in the grocery store, whether in a board meeting? And what can people take away quickly?
Sure. In terms of body language, it is very important to tailor your body language to your audience. And this really means that you want to show them that you're connected to them in some way. Physically connected to them means that you look them in the eye. You look at any speaker who's talking in the room. You make sure that you're sitting tall, or if you're standing, that you're standing tall. You're not slouching. You're very much in the moment. Your arms are directed to them. If you're at a table and you're gesturing, make sure your gestures move in the direction of your audience, so that you are connecting, aligned to them, and really making them feel, wow, this is somebody who cares about me. So body language is very important. Voice is very important. I would say the biggest thing in terms of using your voice in impromptu conversations is to slow down and emphasize your words, because pauses are usually lost in a lot of impromptu conversations. But if you slow down your rate of word delivery and pause between ideas, people will actually latch on to your thinking much better than as though you race through what you're saying. So those are tips that I would have for your audience in terms of presence, physical presence. I would say in terms of language, use the simplest language you can. People will hear you better if you use simple words. So you don't use however, use but. And use collaborative language. I think it's really important that people are not always saying I this and I that, but we, as both of us, and together we can. So there are phrases that you could use that suggest collaborative thinking, and that's what people want. And also, I think it's important when you're in a meeting to draw out people If somebody hasn't spoken, ask their opinion if you think they have something to say about the subject. Or if somebody said something that you agree with, say, wow, that's a great idea. So give them accolades. Tell them you heard them. Tell them you love their idea. These are just naturally interpersonal skills, but sometimes we forget them in the rush of talking about a project or talking about something that's created some tension. So come back to these very simple, interactive tools that will make others feel you really care about them, you believe in them, and they will therefore want to follow you.
Exactly. And a lot of what you're talking about is also for the phone, when you're on the phone. Look, I have a mute button, and I use it a lot because I don't want people hearing me say, mm-hmm, or really? No distractions. You know, I want to listen. I want to be very thoughtful about what I'm hearing and then come back with a response.
Yes. Yes, that's so right. These are all skills that you need for on the phone, conference calls, and interpersonal conversations. And they can be applied instantly. So the people listening today can take these skills and this discussion we've had and apply immediately, maybe 20 times today.
I hope so. Listen, I know you've got to run, Judith, so tell people very quickly where they can find you on the Internet.
Well, I'm putting together a site, judithhumphrey.com, but it's still under construction, so it'll be next week. You can find my book, Impromptu, Leading in the Moment, on Amazon. And the company I founded is the Humphrey Group. So we have a website, thehumphreygroup.com. All those are accesses to me and also Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, please. Love that. And we'll be posting this interview today.
We will. Well, Judith, thank you. It has been a pleasure speaking with you today, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice. And honestly, I did not know that I had been scripting since I was probably 3 years old, and I love knowing that, so thank you for that.
Well, it's wonderful that you've done that, and thank you for inviting me so much, Denise. It's been a pleasure.
Same here. Well, listen, everybody, we will end the show, and be sure to listen to this in downloads or in iTunes. And here we go.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.